Hi, it's Joy Schwarz with visionboard.fm and visionboard.info with one of our celebrated featured artists in The Vision Board, The Secret to an Extraordinary Life by Joy Schwarz, of course. I just wanted to add that I was pleased over this past weekend to give a copy of the book to Jack Canfield, the co-author of Chicken Soup for the Soul and the creator of the Chicken Soup for the Soul series. And he was really thrilled, and he was thrilled that on the front of the book it says, "This book will change your life, Jack Canfield." And he said the book is beautiful. And so we're pleased that we're getting some great feedback. Shanna, you are on page 125, but before we get to that, can you just introduce yourself to our listeners quickly?
Sure. Well, my name is Shauna Dressler. I live in Brooklyn, New York, and I'm a multimedia artist and photographer. And I've been working for the last 20 years on all sorts of projects, which range from exhibitions to tours of world music. I've worked on African Lullaby, which is an audio CD, and a number of audio projects. And so I have done many things, but all around music and photography.
Wow, what a great combination. And I love that phrase, multimedia artist, because we live in a multimedia world. And as you probably know, I wrote some of the earliest books on multimedia, and now to see us actually experiencing the opportunities for it. Well, we're still in a print world with the book, but don't worry, folks, if you're listening, we will take this beyond the print and connect to, of course, the website and to videos and to hopefully real-life exhibitions, too. And so lots of more good stuff to come, especially hopefully in New York City. So, Shauna, tell me a little bit about what is this Seven Wonders Vision Wisdom Collage, I guess you call it?
Yeah. So I decided I wanted to make a collage that was more about a state of being as opposed to putting things on the board that I wanted. I realized that I had mastered just how to do things in my life, how to accomplish things, but that there was a state of mind and a feeling place that I hadn't quite come to. And some of the biggest things I wanted to do in my life, I think I've been held back because I've been more kind of goal-oriented than having a feeling of, like, what's next and what are those things going to bring me. So I created a vision board that it started with this thing I found in a travel magazine, The Seven Wonders of the World, and then I started to...
Okay, now quickly, let's go back to this. People are looking at this maybe on page 125 because we want these podcasts to be a little bit like those when you're in a museum and you see a part of an installation and you're able to press on one of those little buttons or you've got the little earplugs with you so that they can kind of hear you simultaneously as they're looking at this. And you said you found it in the magazine. What did you find, those actual words or...
Yeah. It was an ad. And
okay.
It was an illustrated ad. Just it had the word, the seven wonders, and then it had illustrations of, like, different travel destinations. So that was the beginning piece.
Okay,
of the
collection. That might be one way for people to go, to start with some sort of an inspirational piece there, right?
Right. And then after that, I just started to think, well, what are my own personal wonders? Like, what do I wonder about? What inspires me? You know, what do I love? And so I started to find images like the hand that is henna, because I've spent a lot of time in India, and I also love Morocco, two places where women do henna. I picked the female...
Now, hold on one more minute. I'm sure that you are so sophisticated, and you've traveled a lot, but we may have some folks that have seen this henna stuff and think it looks like tattoos or something and don't know what it is. So it's H-E-N-N-A, and what exactly, very quickly, are we seeing? We're seeing a hand with some beautiful designs on it, very elaborate, and that is done where, and what exactly is it quickly?
Well, quickly, it's a decorative art that's used in North Africa and India, and it basically women do this around the time of a wedding. So it's just a way for women to...
It's
connect.
Human art, though, right? On their
yeah.
body art, I guess.
Exactly.
Okay, cool. Well, I've actually had, I think, the front of my hand hennaed one time at a festival of some sort, and it was just, took a while there to even just get a little part of my hand done.
Yeah, it's very relaxing. It's really nice.
Okay, good. Now let's go on. We've got the Seven Wonders. We've got one of the images, the hand, and that represented what to you?
I I don't really know. I mean, I just think a lot of things just spoke to me in different ways. I just think it had something to do with travel, connection, art, creativity.
Great. We appreciate your honesty because a lot of times when you ask the artist what it was, they come back with this quick soundbite of an answer. And I always think, well, I don't know that I always know when I write what things mean. But I think obviously later on, you know, they have some overall kind of impact on us. But this was, you know, kind of an interesting, it's a beautiful, beautiful kind of combination. It has a lot of activity with it. And I know on page 125, when we kind of introduce it, I say, artist Shauna Dressler, who created the Seven Wonders of the World vision board, page 125, affirms my belief that verbs move not only a sentence forward, but our lives as well. And when I talked to you about your board in the beginning, I mean, which must have been almost, wow, eight months ago, maybe even more, Dressler's seven life wonders are all verbs, and you had said to dream, to dance, to sing, to inspire, to explore, to love, and to serve. And I just thought that's brilliant, thinking of our life in terms of action verbs instead of nouns for stuff.
Yeah. So I, you know, I guess what happened was I was, you know, with those verbs in mind, I kept thinking, well, what are the visuals that express that for me personally? And I think what's so great about these vision boards is you really get to access the right side of your brain and just kind of play with images. And then when it's all done, you start to see things that maybe you weren't were not so conscious of. And so I think there's always a lot of information in these collages, just like in dreams, where a lot of times if you're trying to interpret a dream, they're through the visual images that come to mind. So I think a lot of what I was putting together here was also, you know, a feeling of energy and expression and joy, connection with people, connection with nature, connection with the divine. And so I was picking images of, you know, I think at some point when you do enough of this, you start to be a little bit more conscious, but, you know, also color composition, you know, unusual images put together. You know, I think that part of what's so fun about this is you just have a freedom to break structures and just kind of do whatever comes to mind.
Now, let's go back to this, because basically we've got Shauna's vision board. For those of you that are not seeing the book at the same time, and maybe remembering it, though, there is a full-page picture on 125 with little caption, and then when you turn to 126, Shauna was kind enough to work with us in the design department to actually pull out five of the inset pictures of the inset images. And so we've got the kangaroo, we've got a woman matador, we've got the henned hen, we've got a little sports car, and we've got a couple dancing kind of just quickly. Is that right, Shauna, is that how you would describe them, or what would you say?
The first animal is a giraffe.
Oh, kangaroo! Sorry about that.
No, it looks like a kangaroo.
I haven't been to the zoo in a while. No, he's got a very long neck, and I remember we talked about that. There's some symbolism there, too. So, well, it's so funny. But it's so beautiful. Now, let's remind some of our readers and some of our newbie artists that are just getting into this that you actually did create most of this with just cutouts, right?
Yeah, all of it is cutouts.
Okay, all of it's cutouts. So it's not as if you went and painted these things or actually hand-colored them, or like the lady in the sports car's got kind of a chartreuse face, but that's kind of the way it was, right?
It was the way it was, right.
Okay, it wasn't as if you went in and colored them, you know, hand-colored like on a black-and-white photograph or something, but it almost looks like this. So how long did it take you to gather these images?
Probably a few weeks.
Okay, so it wasn't a slapdash, no. 1 hour thing. And I think that's what some people who may have created their vision boards before in a class have to kind of discover with these podcasts, and especially with someone like you, where the piece is just devastatingly gorgeous. I mean, when I first saw it, I just was like, I have to get to this light.
Well, I just also wanted to add, though, I think it's not necessary. I think to belabor over, like, your perfect vision board.
Okay.
You know, you kind of lose the whole point of it. A part of it is I think you have to let go and just let your creative mind explore and So if you are in a class setting, I would just say pick out things that speak to you. Look for colors, look for shapes, look for images, and don't worry about getting the perfect images because, you know, at the end of the day, you can do several. It's not just about
absolutely, and that's what we talk about, too, and I think that's a great reminder. What else would you like to have our listeners know about your board or about your philosophy here?
I think for me, the what's so powerful about these vision boards is, you know, so many times we forget that we are designing our lives, whether we are actively think we're doing it or not, because even if you are making decisions that you're not conscious of, you're still shaping the way your life is. And I think if you actually put some intention behind creating a vision board, you are kind of giving yourself a visual, and if you put words on it, a roadmap for yourself to put yourself closer to where you want to be in your life. And so I think that if you take it seriously and you really do this from a very centered, heartfelt place about what is it next that you want, you know, this starts to become a very magical process, and you start to pull into your life these things that you're longing for, that you're hoping for, dreaming about. So I think it really is a great exercise in putting you in a really positive space, and in a space that's about discovery and adventure and exploration.
Wow, well said. Now tell us what's next for you, Shauna.
Well, two things. I'm working on a multimedia project called Discovering Ganesh about the Hindu elephant-headed deity. He is known to Hindus as the remover of obstacles, and it's going to be a photography and video show. I've got two bookings next year, and we're hoping to get more venues. So that's one thing. And the next thing is I want to start a not-for-profit organization that I'm hoping to launch Valentine's Day of 2009 called the New York City Giving Circle, which will be an organization that pulls together the talents and funds of people that want to make a difference in the world. And we're going to be picking charities that are already in place that are just, you know, they just have a great bang for the buck. And, you know, we're going to be looking to social entrepreneurs who are basically people in business that are in business that really helps people and serves people. And so,
yeah, we talk in chapter 7. I have a whole section on social entrepreneurs.
Yeah.
And so I think that's something that I had to, between you and me, as you know, kind of stick to my own purpose to include that in the book, because the editor was saying, well, you know, I mean, maybe we're veering a little far off from what it is. We've got a vision board. But I said, no, this is something that I want the people at least, A, to be exposed to and know that phrase, social entrepreneurs, and two, to see some examples of them. And so we've been able to include them. And I'm thrilled to hear that you are adding a giving and gratitude or an outreach spin to Valentine's Day, because a lot of course, Valentine's has been based on the incoming, not the outgoing.
Right, exactly. And I think, you know, a lot of people, you know, who knows where you are in your romantic life. You could be transitioning out of something. You could be single. And I think, you know, for everybody that might not be, you know, in the juiciest part of their relationship, it helps you kind of center yourself. And I think Valentine's Day is really about love. And I think at the end of the day, when you really start to get to your own heart, you can't help yourself but want to give to other people. It's just part of what I think, at least for me, I should speak for myself. You know, that's where I've come to, that I really want to make a difference where I can and make a difference in ways that's possible for me, instead of doing nothing because I can't give $1 million away, you know. So I think part of what the New York City Giving Circle is about is really intelligent and feasible giving for people that wouldn't see themselves as a philanthropist, like that word would be a turnoff for them, but somebody mm-hmm. that has $25 a year, and because of the kinds of charities we'll be picking and because of the social entrepreneurs we'll be supporting, they'll really see that even with a small amount of money, they can make an enormous impact.
Right, the micro philanthropist or micro entrepreneur or micro loan kind of thing, where in India is pretty well known, I think, that was one of the areas they started where they'd give a sewing machine to a lady or a guy, right?
Exactly.
They kind of discriminate, and all of a sudden that would start a little industry.
Yeah, no, it's really amazing. There's a really interesting organization called Vision Spring, and we did a benefit for them in June, and basically they provide eyeglasses to rural Indians who already are, you know, they're either working as mechanics or they're seamstresses or they cut hair, but they need their vision to do their job. And so it's almost like a preventative philanthropy. So instead of them going, as soon as their eyes slip and they don't have a pair of glasses, Vision Spring provides for these glasses and training of young of women that go around to the remote to the remote villages, and then they sell these glasses to the villagers, and they can just continue on.
Oh, so it is like a little business. I didn't realize that. I thought it was just straight donations.
No.
That's fabulous.
If you give money, it's to do the training for the women, and I think in some cases if you really wanted to, but...
Obviously.
But I think the whole point is to try and create an economy and...
Right, have an exchange, of course.
Exactly. So, you know, and there's many others like that. There's, you know, many...
Well, that's a great example.
Yeah. Exactly.
Now, I know you brought up this whole thing about love, and I just wanted to go back to chapter one, because I don't know if you've had a chance to read the book, and I know some of the other people may not have, and they may be skipping through the book and looking at the pictures as they first get it here, and of course, they're very attracted, I'm sure, to your kind of three-page section there. But in on page six, and this kind of reaffirms what you just said about love, there's a sentence here that says, "What's the difference between your life purpose and your vision?" Dr. Beckwith, Michael Beckwith from The Secret, of course, and founder of the Agape Spiritual Center in Los Angeles, says that our purpose on this planet is to be the highest expression of love possible, so that we are an expression of love, which is just a fabulous sentence that backs up exactly what you're talking about. And so that's really a delight to hear that, you know, we have the artists like yourself in the book that have great vision. And so we're thrilled that you were able to take the time and the effort to contribute to the book and to be available for this podcast. Do you have any final, well, not final, but I would say additional words of wisdom? Because I'm sure we're going to come back to you again. And during some of our training podcast and some of our workshops, teleconferences, you were going to actually share some of your artistic multimedia talents with us. I think you've agreed to do that. So,
sure.
But what else, what are one or two other things that you would like to say to the audience right now?
I would just say to people, just get started. Don't try and be perfect. Don't, or maybe in the positive, just have fun with it. Don't
okay.
have it too serious. Just see what
so
comes
be
out
inspired
of it.
By your gorgeous contribution. And to use that as a kind of a stepping off for them to venture into their own realm of, is it creativity or what is it?
Yeah, I mean, I think that I think the creative experience is really about letting go and seeing what comes out of you.
Okay, so it is a creative experience, and that's really something that we're all kind of continuing to explore, and it's something that oftentimes life kind of intervenes, and we forget that we are really all creative in some way.
Yeah, and I think also that was something I learned last year. I did a lot of courses in wealth building, and I started to meet a lot of people that were entrepreneurs, and it was the first time when I got to know these people, and I thought, you know, they are just as creative as I am, but they're using different medium. And so I think creativity, many people think, are about the arts, but I think creativity is a way you think.
Absolutely, of course, and those of us that know Julie Cameron's work, of course,
yeah.
The Artist Way, understand that. That's a book that when I'm doing my career counseling, I've often given to engineers or to people that do coding for websites or
right,
that actually
right.
do the analytical part of the Internet, because it is a matter of understanding that creativity flows in a number of different streams.
Yeah, and it's a very, like, when you finally let go, there's a bit of surrender that happens. I think when you let go of the kind of judgmental mind that's saying you're not doing it right. Or
right, the control issue that comes in.
When you just, like, cut that voice loose, let it go out and play, and just let your own creativity dance, it's a very exhilarating place to be from. I think a lot of artists kind of escape into that place in themselves because it's just, like, full freedom, your sense of self-expression, and if you can take the judgment out, it's like an amazing place to be. It's almost like being in a movie, but you're in your own world.
Well, and I'm going to ask you something extraordinary. It just dawned on me that your pages on 125 and 126 are really so inspiring, because I don't know about other people. I'm going to speak for myself. And almost every day I'm dealing with my control issues and have to realize that I can't micromanage every single little thing. And do you think, I know you own the copyright and I own the copyright for the book, and I'm wondering between us if you would allow people to make a life-size, not a life-size, a real size, the same size, now not blow it up into a big picture or anything or poster, a copy of pages 125 and 126 so that they could put those on their own board?
Sure.
Okay, so let's just do that. There you've got permission, copyright permission from the multimedia artist herself and from the author, and I'm sure that HarperCollins will kind of zap them into going along with this, and it's an unusual request in this day of intellectual property, but I have a feeling that if people do want to have those on the wall, they also work extremely well as inspiring images. Now, we're asking you, readers or listeners, to just put it at the same size. Later, Shauna and I are going to talk about some licensing and making this into the poster, so we trust that you're not going to blow it up to a six-foot-high thing and start selling it on the Internet, please.
I mean, that said, I think that, you know, use it as a point of inspiration,
right,
but find that something as equally moving, if this is indeed moving to you, you can create yourself.
Right, right, right. And so we're not asking you to copy, and we're not asking you to, we're going to say it in a very positive way, is that this is inspirational for you and not necessarily aspirational. You don't have to do the same thing.
Well, there was one other thing I actually wanted to share.
Go ahead.
Upper left-hand corner, right near the female matador, there's Mary Poppins.
Oh, I see her.
Right. And part of what defined the images was I kind of did a list of my favorite things, like she's got that song and
right.
Mary Poppins. These are a few of my favorite things. So if you just want to start off and start clipping out of magazines and just clip out everything you love. Sometimes we forget. Sometimes
well, absolutely, and sometimes it changes at different points in our life.
Sure, sure.
And so clip out some of your favorite things. I like that. That's a nice exercise. How many should they clip out? I know this is sounding a little left-brained here, but people want to know.
Yeah, I mean, I would think I would start with 20. And
okay, so quite a few.
Yeah. I mean,
okay, good.
Pick some images that maybe don't have as many busy things happening, so you have a background. And
what would be an example if you were to pick one today?
Right. Okay, well, the tree with the yellow and the purple on the bottom above the race car, I mean, that's just an OxyTen ad.
Oh, my heavens. You would never know that.
Yeah, so, you know, you can just take something or, you know, lots of times in some of these ads, you can take out what's photographed in there. It's a beautiful kind of nature.
Right.
National Geographic has great nature.
Of course. And then they can also go online, of course, to Flickr.com and make sure that they are looking at those images that are available through what's called the Creative Commons copyright. And all you have to do is look on the rights on the bottom of the, when you're looking at the images, and those people are allowing you to print out and use those images.
Right.
Not for selling purposes, but for your own artistic endeavors. So that's really another way of looking at it too, is to kind of scan those if you're not, if you don't have the magazines. But we do like the magazines because we have found that, especially in New York City, there is a major magazine recycling campaign and going on, and with the Magazine Publishers Association of America and with, I believe, Mayor Bloomberg and Time Life. So everybody's encouraging us to recycle these magazines, and so this is a wonderful way of doing it. And then when you're done with that magazine, make sure it goes into the proper container. New York even has magazine containers now. Make sure that it's separated from your other recycling and that you don't just toss it in the trash or leave it outside to dribble away into the street. So this is a great opportunity to once again share with everyone and be socially responsible.
Yeah, I had one other idea.
Go ahead.
Since so many
last of one, Shauna.
Well, we have digital cameras, so, I mean, just take your digital camera.
Oh, of course.
Things, wherever you see things you like, you know, then you'll retain the copyright because you took the picture if you're worried about that.
Very good. Very, very good. And it's, you know, there are digital cameras are a great price, and you can download them directly into the computer, and you do own the copyright of that, of course, and you become a creator.
Yeah.
Right there, just immediately. That's one of the nicest ways to go, is if you're going to start a little walking exercise, take the camera with you. I've got one of my people, my social networking people on Facebook does this, and every afternoon she goes out and walks, and she'll take a picture of a flower, or it's just a plant, or it's something that she's seen along the way, and she posts it to Facebook. But can you imagine actually having that and printing it out and putting it in your file for your vision boards?
Right, yeah.
Very cool, very cool. Thank you, thank you, thank you. We are totally grateful. And once again, you are in the chapter on gratitude and Seven Wonders of the World. Shauna and I are going to be working together on perhaps a little ebook and maybe even another print book. Why don't we make it a multimedia experience on this Seven Wonders of Gratitude?
Yeah, that sounds great.
That sounds really like fun. Okay, thanks a lot, Shauna, and we will be back to you again, certainly for Valentine's Day. But I think also for the holidays, because there's so much emphasis right now on a difficult economy,
mm-hmm.
and I'm encouraging everyone in my life and myself, of course, which we all need the reminders throughout the day, to be grateful for what we do have,
mm-hmm.
and to continue to give. As you say, it doesn't have to be that multimillion-dollar check. It can just be either our time or a small microloan, philanthropy of some sort.
Yeah.
Thanks a lot, Shauna.
Thank
you. Oh, if they want to get a hold of you, I'm sorry. What do they do?
They can go to my website, www.shana, and my last name, Dressler, DRESSLER.com. It's also in the book.
Okay, good. And is there an email?
There is. It's Shauna@ShaunaDressler.com.
Okay, and it is in the back of the book, folks. Her name is here. And then you just go to the resource section of the book, and you will see it. There's a little more about Shauna as one of the featured artists. The acknowledgement section has that there, and we'll explain how to use the book again in a little orientation one. But a little bit more about Shauna is also – no, it's not. Unfortunately, it's not in the featured artist. How did that happen? My heavens. Well, we certainly featured you in the book.
Well, they can also Google me.
Okay, they'll Google you. They'll see you. They'll see these beautiful images. And thanks so much for helping to inspire us and to remind us that we're all creative.
Yes, we are.
Take care.
Thank you. Bye.